Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the grace that you've poured out on us. Lord, I ask that this morning we may set aside whatever we're holding on to, whatever may be standing in the way, and we may just come to you. And Father, remember that we're here to worship and to praise you. Father, we thank you for the offering this morning. May it be used to bring you glory and to show others Christ. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. The time for us to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our lives. And this morning I want to add a little something extra into it, and that is each one of these shoeboxes. Each one of these shoeboxes filled with gifts and toys that will be brought to boys and girls all over the world that may not get Christmas any other way. But here's the thing, they don't just get the shoeboxes. They also get to hear about Jesus and the love that he has for them. And my prayer is that they would know how much they're loved at the end of it, and that there's no mistake in them. They've not been forgotten. That there's a God who loves them and is there with them. So this morning, as we prepare for my three, I want you guys to pray for your three people in your life that don't know Jesus, to continue to lift them up, remembering that God does a new work. But I also want you to think about the boys and girls who are getting these boxes, and that their hearts and minds may be transformed as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we know there's so many people who don't know you, who don't know the love that you have for them. Father, many of those people are inside of our lives. And Lord, we hand them over to you inside of this moment. And Father, we lift them up by name. But Lord, we also pray for each one of these boxes and the boys and girls that they represent and the boys and girls who are getting them. Father, may they come to know who you are. May they come to know the love that you have for them. And Lord, may you just speak into their lives. May they find joy. May they find peace. And know that they're never truly alone. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. Especially as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this week. I don't know how many of you guys are excited, but I am ready for some turkey, some stuffing, some homemade pies, and everything else. And I just talked about gluttony a little bit last week, and here I am bringing all that up. I'm also ready, though, for some time with family and friends, and I'm sure many of you guys are as well. I want to welcome our guests here this morning, and I want to welcome those that are joining us online and the radio. We're thankful for each one of you. But as we prepare to dive into God's word this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, we come with humble hearts, Father, with open minds to hear who you are and what you have for us. Father, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken. Father, that it brings you glory. Father, I ask if I say anything that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. Father, we thank you for the work that your son did on that cross. And may we never forget. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's crazy to think that after this week, we're going to be shifting gears into the Christmas season. Like, we are right there. But today, we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series for before Thanksgiving. And we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. We're going to be over in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20 for anyone that wants to follow along. You know, last week we were reminded that each one of us have sin in our lives. Each one of us have struggles at times in our walk with Jesus, that none of us are perfect. Paul even writes about that in Romans chapter 7, where he talks about how that there are times he finds himself doing things that he doesn't want to do. That it's the sin of the flesh taking over, and he has to fight against it. And I always found that amazing that Paul, the apostle, talks about his own struggles, his own sin, and that he had those same things. And as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to find ourselves struggling. Yet often we don't want to admit that we have a problem. Instead, we find it much easier to find the sins of others than it is to acknowledge your own sin. I mean, for myself, I'm really good at giving advice. I'm really bad at taking my own advice. Same concept. And we saw that clearly in the text last week where Jesus was teaching the crowd of the people and the Pharisees brought a woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus. And what they did is they tried to use her to lay a trap for Jesus. And when they brought her to Jesus, they reminded him that the law of Moses commanded them to stone such a woman. And then they asked Jesus, "But what do you say?" And you see, they believed either way that Jesus answered that question, they could get rid of Jesus. If Jesus said, "Don't stone her," the crowd would turn on Jesus for not following the law of Moses. But if Jesus said, "Stone her," they could turn him over to the Roman authorities, because only Rome had the ability or the authority to carry out an execution under the law. Yet Jesus, being who Jesus is, answered in such a wise way that it disarmed the entire situation. He said, "You without sin should throw the first stone." And the scripture told us that when the Pharisees heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men, until only the woman was left in the center with Jesus. You see, the Pharisees couldn't cast that first stone because they knew they were full of sin. They knew they were guilty of breaking the law themselves. And so after they had left and it was only the woman there, Jesus told her that he does not condemn her. But he told her that she needs to go and sin no more. And I thought it was such a powerful picture for each one of us. That Jesus is the one and only person without sin. The one and only person who has the ability to throw the first stone, yet he did not condemn her. He did not pick up the stone and throw it. Instead, he encouraged her right where she was to leave her old way of life and to go and sin no more. You know, Jesus invites each one of us to come to him as we are, just as he did with that woman. And we're not called to stay where we are, though. Instead, we're called for a transformed life, a life where we don't pursue sin anymore And instead, we look to Christ for our hope and our purpose in life. Now, I'll also say this, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Going away from sin, that is something that is a lot easier said than done. We live in a world that is full of sin. We live in a world that is missing God, a world that is lost, a world that is a dark world. And I don't say that this morning because I'm looking for some doom and gloom and to cast worries on you. I don't say that this morning because I want to paint this horrible picture of the society we're in. I say that this morning because I want us to understand that we live in a world that doesn't know Jesus. And throughout the scriptures, the Bible uses a metaphor to explain the world versus Jesus. They use this phrase of light versus darkness. And we see it all over the place. And the world is full of darkness, full of sin and despair. Yet Jesus is the source of light that can illuminate even the darkest of spaces. Jesus is the one that can take, show up and show the sin. And let me tell you, our world today is full of darkness, full of sin, and full of despair. And it comes from the fact that we are a world full of people that don't know who Jesus is. For example, let's look at our own community for a second. Did you guys know in Carroll County alone, over 45% of the people have no religious affiliation, period. 45% in our county have no. And this category of no religious affiliation falls into this category that we know as the nuns. Now let me be clear, that's N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S. And that category is not including the ones that say that they're Christian by name alone that might come to church on a Sunday for Easter or Christmas. These are people who have no understanding of who God is, what the Bible says, or anything like that. They're not just not affiliated with the church. They have no relationship or understanding of God, period. They may understand religion, but they don't understand God. And here's the thing, it's the fastest growing group in our nation. According to Pew Research in 2007, the nuns made up 16% of our country. 16% of our country fell into this category. And as of last year, they make up 28% of our nation. They have almost doubled since 2007. And our own community has a higher percentage than the national average. On top of that, there was a study done by the Hartford Institute of Religious Research. And inside of that study, we found that in 2005, in our nation, that we had a medium worship attendance of 129 people on an average Sunday with a steady decline. And by the time 2020 rolled around, we were all the way down to 65. And that trend continues to this day to grow smaller and smaller and smaller. We're to a point in a nation that roughly 3,700 churches a year close their doors. Now, the good news is that we also have roughly 4,000 new churches planted a year. But of those 4,000 churches, 32% will close their doors within the first couple years. And since 2006, the number of churches in America have decreased by over 50,000. And the question I find myself wrestling with as I was preparing for this message, and I've been wrestling with for a while, is why? Why are we having such a decrease in churches? Why is it that 3,700 churches are closing their doors every year? I think we can figure out some outlier stuff at times. But why is it that church attendance is on the decline? Why is the church not growing? Why is the body of Christ not coming together? I mean, folks, I want us to think about this for a minute. We have been given one of the most amazing gifts in the world, have we not? We have been given the greatest story ever told. We have been given the gospel, and the gospel literally means, in the Greek, good news. It's a message full of hope. It's a message of salvation, of the kingdom of God. It's the message of Jesus. And we've been given this message. Why are we not sharing it? Why are we not going out? We were given a mandate to go out and share this message to the world around us. It tells us in Matthew 28:19-20, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of age. And this is the mandate to the church. We are called to go out and make disciples that make disciples. We're called to go and reach the lost for the sake of Jesus. Not just to reach people that look like us and talk like us and act like us, and I'm going to throw a new one in there, and smell like us. We're called to reach everyone for the sake of Jesus. But somewhere along the lines, we've lost it. Somewhere along the lines, we have lost the purpose of the church, the body of believers that are called to be the body of Christ here on earth, to be the light in a dark world. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, as believers, we are called to be that light inside of our world, a light for our community. It's not just about having the church shine brightly up on a corner somewhere. No, it's about being out inside of the community, to be situated in such a way that our light shines bright to the world around us, no matter where you're at. You know, we're called to be a light in our schools. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. You are called to be a light inside of your school. We're called to be a light at our jobs. Whatever your position is, whatever you do, you are called to be the light of Jesus to each person that you interact with each and every day. We're called to be a light to our friends and our family, to our neighbors, and even the stranger we meet on the street. I mean, if we have Jesus within us, that light should shine so bright from within us that everybody should be able to see it. And I read something a while back that just really intrigued me. Do you know how they measure darkness? Do you know how they measure darkness? They measure darkness by measuring the absence of light. That's how they measure darkness. They don't have a meter for darkness. They have a meter to read light. They go out and they see how little light is there. And you know what? We can do the same thing with our faith. You want to know how dark the world is? Measure how little faith is out there. You want to start seeing our world turn around? You want to see families start being restored? You want to see joy come back into our world? You want to see people find freedom again? We need to bring the light of Jesus into our dark world that he gave us to share. And he gave it to us freely. Jesus says in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, we need light in our lives to survive. Light is an important aspect of our lives. Without light, we wouldn't have plants and trees and everything else around us. Without light, we wouldn't have our food that we eat. Light is an important aspect of our lives. And if we were constantly in darkness, how much joy would we have? We hear of people who have seasonal depression, right? Because it's too dark. It's nothing like going to work in the morning when it's dark and coming home and it's dark and you don't get to spend time outside. It brings it about. We're not in that light. Oftentimes, children, they have a fear of what? The darkness. You don't hear them being scared of the light. You hear them being scared of the dark. It's the dark that does them in. There's safety, there's security to being in the light. It illuminates everything around us. It shows us what is good and it shows us what is bad. It shows us what we need to avoid and what we need to engage. And here is Jesus reminding us that he is the light of the world. He is the one that sustains us. And if we go to him, we will never have to worry about living in darkness again. And it doesn't mean that the darkness isn't still around us. It just means that his light will shine through and show us what is true and what is right. And he will show us the way to go. He is the source of light in our dark world. A world that has forgotten about God and his perfect standard. A world that has lost hope. A world that has lost joy. A world where the darkness has started to take over. To the point that we're calling evil good and good evil. And the more Christians are removing themselves from the world, the more we see the darkness of the world growing. The more the churches hide the light of Christ, the more we see the world clashing. Just as Jesus clashed with the Pharisees. You know, it tells us in verses 13 and 14, So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is true because I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you don't know where I come from or where I'm going." Here we see the Pharisees pushing back against Jesus and everything he'd been teaching them. You see, Jesus had been calling out their sin and had been pushing back against them. And the more that Jesus pressed, the more the Pharisees hated him because he was illuminating the sin in their life. You know, the world doesn't like the word of God often because it illuminates the sin of the world. It illuminates the darkness. The Bible calls evil evil and it calls good good, and it goes against the very nature of what the world wants. And here we have the Pharisees doing the same thing, trying to discredit Jesus in this moment because he was illuminating the sin in their life. They said, "You testify about yourself, but your testimony is not valid." Now, underneath Jewish law, it does say that it takes two witnesses for a valid testimony for any capital offense. I mean, it'd be similar in ours. If we have multiple people that can collaborate a story, it's much easier to believe it than if it's one. And blaspheming God, which is what they were accusing Jesus of by calling himself God, is a capital offense under Jewish law. You see, the Pharisees misunderstood everything Jesus had been telling them and everything he had told them. When Jesus said, "I know where I come from," they thought he was talking about Nazareth, not heaven. When he mentioned his father, they thought he was talking about his earthly father. And when he talks about going home, you'll discover in further passages down, they actually thought he was talking about taking his own life. They misunderstood everything Jesus was saying. And because they did not understand who Jesus was, they didn't understand that he was the very Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah laid out by the prophets of old, that he was the very one that they had been looking for. You know, so often when the world pushes back on Jesus and tries to reject the very words of God, they do this because they don't understand the Messiah. They don't understand who Jesus is. And they're trapped in this darkness and the light's not shining through. The Christians, the believers, those of us who are supposed to be carrying the light into the world have become quiet. We've become timid instead of bold in our faith. Not wanting to rock the boat. We've hidden the light of Jesus instead of letting it shine brightly from within us. And I know it's not everybody, but I see it over and over again. Instead of talking about Jesus and showing Jesus' love, we actually have started shifting into human standards that we talk about. You know, we start talking about ideologies and we start talking about political parties, believing that we can just legislate our way into morality. Doing nothing more, though, in those moments than shining a false light into the world. See, when we turn to human standards and we shine the human standards out into the world, it's a false light that we're showing. That's not Jesus that we're showing in those moments. And we're shining that false light instead of the light of Jesus, how can we expect the world around us to find clarity in the darkness? They're hearing a sense of judgment by worldly standards instead of a sense of freedom by Christ's standards. You know, Jesus said in verse 15, "You judge by human standards, and I judge no one." And I want us to be very careful with this passage because it's taken out of context quite often. You see, the Pharisees were judging Jesus by all human standards. They had a list of standards that they expected everyone to live up to. And these standards were so large that no human could ever do it. They not only had the laws of Moses that they had added to them and overcomplicated them and gotten to the point that nobody could ever hold up to these laws. And Jesus knew this. And Jesus is the only one who was able to hold God's standards perfectly. He was the only one that was able to perfectly hold the laws. And when Jesus asked them last week, "You without sin, throw the first stone," they all had to leave inside of that moment because they knew they were incapable of keeping the laws themselves. Yet here they were judging others by the standards they themselves could not keep. And when Jesus says, "I judge no one," what Jesus means is by this is that he's not going to judge by human standards, nor did Jesus judge by human standards. Instead, he went on in verse 16 and he continues, "And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." You see, Jesus reserved the right for himself to judge. And he won't be judging by worldly standards. Instead, he'll be judging by the standards in which God has laid out, because him and the Father are one. But in this moment, Jesus hadn't come to judge anyone. Instead, he came to shine his light brightly to show the world who he is, so that the darkness of the world is illuminated, so that the world can see the pitfalls of their ways. And they can see the truth of Christ and put their trust and their hope in Jesus, understanding that he is the one and only way. You see, when Jesus came the first time, he came to make a way where there was no other way. He came to set the captives free, understanding that none of us are capable of upholding God's perfect law on our own. But when Jesus comes back, the Bible says there's going to be a coming judgment day. And on those of us who are in Christ have nothing to fear inside of that moment. But those who reject Jesus will face eternal punishment. This is why we're called to be the light of the world. To let the light shine bright from within us. To show the love of Christ. To show the world to turn to Jesus. To help the world find clarity of who God is and the love that he has for them. That even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even whilst we were in the darkness, he came through. You know, and this is a truth that we can hold on to, and we know that Jesus' testimony is true. It tells us in verses 17 and 18, "Even if your law is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true, I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Jesus reminds the Pharisees here that, yes, it's true. The law does require two witnesses. And Jesus is saying that there are two witnesses. I testify about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. God had testified about Jesus for many years before he ever came. He used prophets and teachers, and he used the scriptures to testify about the coming Messiah and what he would do. He talked about all the work and everything that Jesus would do and how he would pay the debt for our sins. And when Jesus was baptized, what do we see? The Father said, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased." He came down in that moment. But here's the thing, the Pharisees didn't want to hear any of it. And today, in our world today, we have these same testimonies that they had then. We have thousands of years of writing beforehand talking about the coming Messiah and the work that he would do. And then we have the New Testament, which talks about what Jesus did and how he fulfilled every single one of those prophecies, how he came to make a way where there was no other way, to transform people's lives from the inside out. We have those exact same things today, but we even have something more. He sent us the helper after. We have the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives, and he illuminates his word. He illuminates Jesus. He affirms what we have each and every time. It's an amazing thing. We have more than they even had then. And on top of that, we have more. How many of our lives have been radically changed by Jesus? How many of us have stories that we can point to how there is absolutely no other way that this would have happened if it wasn't for Jesus and the work that he's done in our lives? Our testimonies are testimonies of what God is capable of. Our testimonies are stories of what Jesus has done in each one of our lives that can help point others to Jesus. We are called to be a light inside of our world, to go out and boldly proclaim all of this to the world around us, because there are many who are lost. We have our My Three every week because we know there are people who don't know Jesus inside of our lives, but somewhere we have gotten timid. When was the last time you shared your story? When was the last time you allowed God to work within you and that you shared the hope that Jesus has to someone who is hurting or in pain or who's trying to find a way? When was the last time you were willing to let your light shine bright, or do you keep it covered up in a way? Where are you at in all of this? Our stories are a gift that God has given us. Some of our stories are more complicated than others. Some of our stories are more simple. Some I've heard some say, well, Pastor, I don't have a testimony like you. I didn't run from Jesus. I've always grown up with a house that loved Jesus. I had parents who pointed me to Jesus. Let me tell you, that is a testimony of what your parents did to make sure that that continues in generations to come. That there is others. There is a testimony inside of that. Father, and I have others who come to me and they go, you know what? I have lived a life. There is no way that God can love me. But then I came to know Jesus. Share that story with others. Each one needs to be shared. And yes, there's going to be people who reject it. There's going to be people that turn the other direction when they hear it. There's always going to be needing more evidence. There's always going to be needing more evidence. And they're going to be stuck in that darkness. And they're never going to be happy. When Jesus talked about how he had given them two testimonies, it wasn't enough for the Pharisees. In fact, it tells us in verses 19 and 20, it says, then they asked him, where is your father? You know neither me nor my father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would also know my father. And he spoke these words by the treasury while he was teaching in the temple. But no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. They had hardened their heart so much to the source of light. They had hardened their heart to the very word of God because they refused to see the light of Jesus. Jesus reminded them that they don't know his Father. They knew religion, but they didn't know God. And I think that's a final warning that Jesus gave the Pharisees about not knowing the Father is something that we can easily find ourselves in as Christians today. We can get so caught up in our religious aspects, we can get so caught up in our traditions that we forget the calling that God has placed in our lives. That we make it more about going through the motions than we do about actually serving our Heavenly Father. That we forget that we're called to be a light into the world, not just the light inside of the building. You know, I hear all types of excuses on why the church aren't growing. And why people are no longer coming to Christ. But to be honest with you, it all comes down to one thing. The church, the body of Christ, the believers have forgotten our mandate. We've forgotten our calling to be a light into our world. To go out and boldly proclaim the gospel. And to show people the hope of Jesus that we have been given. I think one of the most offensive things that we can do is not share Jesus with a lost loved one. Do you not care about them? Do you not love them enough to do that? We're not called to hide our faith. We're not just called to come to church on a Sunday for an hour. This hour, this time together, is supposed to encourage you and equip you to go out and do the work. The Bible studies and everything else is to encourage you and equip you to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. This isn't on just the pastors or the elders or the Sunday school teachers. This is on the body of Christ together. And we're called to be a light to everyone we run into and to show them who our source of joy is and where our source of peace comes from. So that when our time is up and we get to see Jesus face to face, we get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But we don't stop until then. And as we go into the Thanksgiving season this week, I just want to remind you, what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for the gift that God has given you? Are you thankful for the work that Jesus did up on the cross? Or are you willing to boldly proclaim that to the world around you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your encouragement. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to be a light in the midst of this dark world. Father, may we not take this for granted. Father, as you've stepped into our lives and as others have shined your light into us, Father, may we boldly go out and shine the light of Jesus to the world around us. May we boldly proclaim the good news of what your Son did. May we not be timid in these moments. But may we have passion. And may we never give up. May we never stop praying. And may we never stop proclaiming. In Jesus' name, amen. you go out this week, may you remember the love that God has for you, that he's bestowed upon you. May he give you rest, and may we also go out and boldly proclaim the name of Jesus to the world around us, to let it shine brightly. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.